Tomorrow, we're celebrating the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada.
Can this fan be turned off?
So it doesn't, it's very cold. Well, if it's just the fan function could be turned off. Because I'll get a cold, probably. I'm susceptible to cold.
Would the fan manage?
No. No, I don't. I'm asking for it to be turned off. What's this sound coming through? It picks up the radio automatically. Yeah, so tomorrow is the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada. It's, we say the Tirobhav Mahotsav, disappearance festival. Mahotsav means expression of joy. But it's also called Viraha Mahotsav. Viraha means separation. So it's an unusual kind of joy or celebration. We're celebrating that Prabhupada left this world. Why should we celebrate? I'm still asking that question. But it is the tradition to celebrate, because it's understood that anyway, the soul never dies, and a Vaishnava's appearance in this world is glorious, and his disappearance is also to teach us how we have to leave this world remembering Krishna. The acharyas, they come to this world to show by example how to leave it. Everything is tested at the time of death. According to our consciousness, at the time of death, we attain another body. So the consciousness of the pure devotees who come from the spiritual world is always fully Krishna conscious. There's never a time, as Prabhupada himself wrote, there was never a time in my life when I forgot Krishna. So, the pure devotees come as if they are one of us, but they live among us to show us how we should live so that we can pass away from this world remembering Krishna. So, from our perspective, it's not very pleasant. We don't want that Srila Prabhupada should have left. But at the same time, we understand that it's inevitable, it's glorious. We celebrate that he's returned to Krishna, although in another sense he's never separated from Krishna. But at the same time, it's viraha, there's separation. We're not happy that we'll no longer get the opportunity, as long as we're in this body, in this life, to directly see Srila Prabhupada, hear him, and so on. But Mahotsav, these Mahotsavs, they're particularly for remembering, glorifying, and begging for mercy from the particular devotees or forms of the Lord with whom they are associated. We just celebrated Govardhan Puja. So on that day we particularly remember, glorify and beg mercy from the Supreme Lord in the form of Govardhan, who's the greatest devotee, also, according to the gopis, who are the greatest authorities on devotional service. So Govardhan Puja, then Prabhupada's disappearance day. Like this, there are various festivals throughout the year. Advaita Saptami, Nityananda Trayodashi, Gaur Purnima, Ram Navami, Nrsimha Chaturdashi, Balaram Purnima, Janmashtami, Radhashtami. These are the some of the most prominent festivals of the year. And we are concerning the appearance days of the Lord and of Radharani, who is non-different from Him. And then we also have, of course, we celebrate the appearance and disappearance days of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So these are the main festivals that we celebrate throughout the year. It's only through Srila Prabhupada's mercy that we're able to even think of these festivals or celebrate them. Of course, you are from Hindu backgrounds, so some of you might have been celebrating Janmashtami if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada. Of course, most Hindus celebrate Janmashtami at least to some extent. But if Prabhupada hadn't preached Krishna consciousness all over the world, maybe he wouldn't have been. Because I remember when I came to India in the 1970s, Hinduism was on the decline. No one was building temples except the Birlas, who got tax returns from doing so. They did it so that they built the temple and then they built it with their own company, and like this, we were told. But the temple building was not in vogue. But it must have been approximately the late 1970s, the Illustrated Weekly of India, which was the most prominent and maybe the only English magazine that was widely read in India at that time. Yeah. Now it's dead. It's been completely taken over especially by India Today. But that was the magazine that modern educated Indians read. So it's very prestigious. And on one of the front covers, on the front cover of one issue, there was a photo of our Western devotees offering arati at Krishna Balaram Mandir and dancing in kirtan. And the blurb on the front page was "Saviors of Hinduism." So I feel that if Prabhupada hadn't, Prabhupada's bringing Western devotees to India and preaching all over the world, it had a tremendous effect on the psyche of Hindus. I mean, that wasn't the greatest thing that Prabhupada did. Prabhupada came to give pure love of Krishna. But mostly modern Hindus at that time, or modernized, or those who are Western educated, English educated. Nowadays is much more, but in those days it wasn't so many, but they were quite prominent in Indian society. They were all convinced that Hinduism is just some stupid religion with this elephant-headed god and all these empty rituals, useless rituals, and you know, these immoral gods and mythical stories. That's what most English-speaking Hindus thought at the time. And even the English press in India up to this present date is more or less, you could say, anti-Hinduism. And it's even written by the Hindus. You'll never see anything in India today that has anything good to write about Hinduism. Maybe this art, what's that art of going to hell, Shaviranka, something like that. He's popular because he's a rascal and a cheater, number one, and couldn't quite remember his name though.
Ravishankar.
Yeah, Shaviranka, something like that.
Ravishankar.
I don't like to say exactly. But he's made a kind of corporate style personality development and modern and just perfectly suited for people who want to be cheated. So maybe they have something a little bit, I don't know, I haven't read that magazine for years. But you'll find in the English language press, even today, they think it's very sophisticated to promote what they call secularism. Anyway, I don't want to get too much into the political field here. But the point is that Prabhupada's movement had a tremendous effect in so many ways, I'm just talking about one here, in that Hindus, they began to feel pride in their own culture. Because the slave mentality of thinking that the Westerners are better, and then when Westerners started taking up Krishna consciousness, they thought, oh, well, maybe it's okay after all. Hare Krishna. So that was one effect. And then, you know, gradually the VHP, which was a small, relatively small organization, became bigger, and the BJP came up out of nowhere. There was the Jana Sangh, but it really wasn't very prominent, and then it came up on Hindu sentiment. So practically we don't have any business in the political field, but I'm just making the point that for us Westerners, actually I don't think of myself as a Westerner, but for devotees coming from a Western background, they would have never known anything of a Janmashtami, Nrisimha Chaturdashi, Ekadashi, Krishna. It's all Prabhupada's gift. And even in India, it was going down. The tendency was there towards atheism. This one pundit, so-called, who was the first prime minister of so-called independent India, his idea was that India's had too much religion, and then religion has spoiled India. Specifically, by religion he meant Hinduism. The temples of the modern India will be the factories and the dams. So this attitude was very prominent. Many people thought it was very sophisticated to scorn and to laugh at the idea of believing in God, especially if believing in Krishna or Rama. They were against that. They thought that was the sign of less intelligence. That only the uneducated people, they believe in all these things. But we are very sophisticated and educated. And if at all they had any inclination toward religion, it was all completely Mayavad. But mostly that also. They were against that because they thought, what's this? Useless, empty rituals, mumbo jumbo. So maybe you also wouldn't have been celebrating Janmashtami if it wasn't for the influence of Srila Prabhupada. And certainly, you wouldn't have understood the significance of Krishna consciousness. Of course, Hindus in general, they know Krishna, and some are specifically, they consider themselves Vaishnavas. But the parampara of proper spiritual teaching in India it's to a large extent closed up. Even many of the people, please turn off cell phones. Whoever's got a cell phone, please turn it off. Many people who consider themselves devotees of Krishna or Rama or Narayana, or who, if we speak with them, we'll find they have so many mixed up ideas. They think that Rama, he's come from the formless, or that there are many gods, and Vishnu is among the many gods, Vishnu is supreme. They're all more or less the same, but Vishnu is a little bit on top of the rest. It's a misunderstanding. Even in the ancient sampradayas, we see we find so many who are traditionally followers of Sripad Ramanujacharya. In their families now, so many, they lost their principles. They're drinking wine, gambling. They have a picture of Tirupati Balaji or Ranganath Swami, and on top of that a picture of Sai Baba, Sai Ranganath. Very, very, very disturbing. How they come from such a good background, but due to lack of proper training, due to lack of education, the bhakti that is their heritage, that they're directing that towards such a cheetah and rascal. How can they do that? How can they give so much distress to the acharyas and their own purva purush? How can they do that? Only due to a lack of education and a desire to be cheated. Anyone who's a little bit sincere can immediately understand that these people, Sai Baba, so many, let's not say their names, they're simply cheaters. Actually, the first time I saw Prabhupada's books, my one friend at school showed me. He said, "Oh, I just went to London and I met some Hare Krishna people. I got these books from them." He was very eager to show them to me. I immediately rejected. He said, I know all these Indian gurus. They're all cheaters. I didn't want to see. Such a bad impression I had. Because so many, they'll come and they declare themselves God, or they're just standing with some, they're always photographed with this cherubic smile on their face, holding a flower, and then what do they say? You can't understand anything that they're saying. It's just something meaningless. And all claiming themselves as avatars. Anyone with any, you don't have to have a huge intelligence to understand that these people are not God. In fact, if you have even slight intelligence, you can understand they're not at all God. Maybe they have some magic. They, by yoga shakti, they can do some what appears to be magic. But anyone who considers them God because of that is simply a fool and a rascal. That's why they become attracted to such fools and rascals, because they themselves are in the same category. So Prabhupada, he made everything very clear. He spoke according to Shastra, according to Parampara. What is the fact? Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is God. When Prabhupada landed in England, at the press conference at the airport, a journalist asked Prabhupada, "Why have you come to England?" Prabhupada sometimes referred to these immigration officials like barking dogs. Why have you come here? Just like you go to someone's house in the Western country, woo, 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 the dog is there. What are you doing here? Don't come here. You're not welcome. So, why have you come to England? Prabhupada said, to teach you what you have forgotten, God. So Prabhupada, he with clear logic established, there is God. People are so proud. Science. Now we're scientific. We don't need God. Oh, you're so scientific? You're going to... Then why don't you keep Mr. Scientist, keep yourself alive? Why don't you... If life is simply a product of matter, you get the brain of Einstein and keep it going. You cannot imagine to do such a thing. They're simply bluffing. Prabhupada exposed their bluffing. Well, we've made a lot of progress, and in the future we'll stop death. Prabhupada immediately caught the cheating in this. It's a blank post-dated check. Blank check. You want to give you a blank check. Oh, that's very nice. You're giving a blank check, so I can write it for any amount. But what's the date? The 27th of October in the year 3006. So, what is the use of such a check? It looks, yes, in future. But who will accept such a thing? So Prabhupada exposed their cheating and established that Krishna, there is God, and God is not some vague idea. People, they talk about God, they have interfaith conferences. Well, how do you believe in God, and what are your... But first of all, we should establish, what is the nature of God? I say God, and someone else says God, and they have a completely different understanding. In this another Indian magazine, one time they're doing a survey. What do you think God's like? You think you can understand God through a survey? Such fools. Prabhupada kicked away all the foolishness. God means the Supreme Person. You have to surrender to Him. They don't want to believe in God because they don't want to surrender, because they're rascals. And they don't want to, even if they say we believe in God, but then they make God some non-entity, some impersonal idea. Again, avoiding surrender. So Prabhupada cut through all the rascaldom and established Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to surrender to Him. He was full with all opulences. Yeah, it was okay as it was before. Please leave it. Someone has to get up in the middle of the lecture and adjust this. Prabhupada so many times stressed that he is giving scientific knowledge of the Personality of Godhead. You're enamored by science, This is science. Science means systematic understanding. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. It's not very good that he's eating in the temple. He should be taken out if he's to eat. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam. Scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. What do we mean by scientific? Scientific means systematic. Prabhupada wasn't one of these vague, be nice so-called gurus who speak in terms that no one can, speak in riddles and speak in vague terms, be nice, be good. That everything according to Shastra, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How do we know? Because he is. Aishvaryasya, samagrasya, viryasya, yashasya, shriyaha, jnana, vairagya, yoschaiva, shannang, bhage itingina. He is that person who is possessed of all opulences in full. In Dubai they have a good system. They fine 100 dirhams. Anyone whose cell phone goes off, and they put it in the temple fund.
You should turn off your telephone, please.
Why don't you do that? Make a 1 dinar fine.
Huh? 10 dinar.
10 dinar is. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I thought it was. No, it's good. People should learn the discipline, isn't it? Yeah. Why should you come in the temple and, you know, just go on with your normal materialistic life? Leave it outside. Come here to hear and chant. Don't disturb others unnecessarily. You'll find that in all churches, mosques, they have at the door. Turn off your cell phone. So you should do that. Make a fine. Implement it. So, scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. He is that person. All authorities accept that Krishna is that person who is possessed of all wealth, all Aishwarya, Shishimaksha, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge and all renunciation. Therefore, he alone is fit to be accepted as Swayam Bhagavan, Purusham Paramam Divyam. He alone, no one else fits that description. It is not simply a matter of opinion. Some people say, well, you can believe whoever you like, you can accept as God. Or they say that God is unknowable. Why unknowable? Then all Shastra is useless. If we say Shastra is for knowing God, if we say God is unknowable, then what is the meaning of Shastra? Shastra is to teach us who is God. So the knowledge is there. Prabhupada gave that knowledge clearly. Cutting through all religious, social, cultural barriers, he made it clear that Krishna consciousness is not a branch of Hinduism. But Krishna consciousness is Atma Dharma. It is the dharma of the jiva in the pure state of everyone. What is your religion, people say? There's no question, what is your religion? Religion means to understand God and to act according to His direction. So God is not different for Hindus, Muslims. They say, people will agree, yes, it's all the same God. But then the sameness, they try to make it very vague. To make the sameness, they try to make everything very vague that you can't really define it, because we want to include the God of Christianity, the God of Islam, it's all the same. So in this way they try to eliminate any specifics. They say that it's called nirvishesh. They say that, well, the God of those who are religious liberals, they say that the God of Hinduism and Islam and Christianity is all the same. So you just find the things that everyone agrees on. God is the most, God is all powerful. He is the source of everything. And that's how we can understand God. But nothing very specific. Whereas, Prabhupada, he didn't say that. No, according to Shastra, we must accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's specifically like this. When he was asked that his society should be called the International Society for God Consciousness, he did not accept that. Too vague. Let's be clear. We say God, then people will bring all their own different ideas. But God means Krishna. And Krishna is specifically Yang Shamasundaram Achintya Gunaswarupam. Shamasundar. He is specifically black and very beautiful. And his transcendental form of inconceivable divine qualities. Venam kwananta maravinda dalaya taksham. The description is there. He's playing a flute. And he's a peacock. His eyes are like the petals of a lotus. Barhava tangsam. He's peacock feather in his hair. Asitambudu sundarangam. He's blackish like the heavy, or the monsoon cloud, and very, very beautiful. So people say, well, I don't believe God's like that. It doesn't matter what you believe. This question, well, what do you think God is like, or what do you believe? It doesn't matter. He is not subject to our belief. He is as He is. It's not that, well, I think that God probably exists, so okay. All right, I'll allow God to exist. No. He is not subject to our opinion. He is as He is, and He is described in the Vedic literature. Even parts of the Vedic literature which even so many so-called Vedantists, they're not aware of, or they don't accept, or they don't understand. The most secret portion of the Vedic scriptures describes Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So other religious processes, they either deny God, Buddhism, they don't discuss. There's no God in Buddhism or Jainism. Or they're very vague about Him. Nothing to say. They may deny His personality. We pray to God when we need something, we pray to Him. But He's not a person. So who are you praying to? If He's not, what are you praying to? It's contradictory. But the Vaishnavas, they accept Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is to be served, He is to be surrendered to. Atma Dharma. It is the dharma of every jiva. Jiva Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. To be the servant of Krishna. And what does it mean to be the servant? There are so many directions. in Shastra, how he is to be served. He is a person. This basic point. He is a person. Most so-called religionists cannot accept, because they think if the Supreme is a person, well, we're also persons, so he can't be the same as us. But again, the scientific analysis that we are the same as God in quality but not in quantity. He is Satchidanandamay, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and we as his infinitesimal parts and parcels also partake in his Satchidanandatva, his being eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. But we are tiny and he is unlimited. So scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead, which Prabhupada presented through his speaking and through his writing, and he trained disciples so that they could experience Krishna consciousness through the process of bhakti, especially through the chanting of the holy names. So Prabhupada, he gave Krishna. We are eternally indebted to Srila Prabhupada. How many times have we said, who could have imagined that there would be devotees in Japan, China, Russia, England, America? Who could have imagined? So we say that many times, and we should say many times, just like we say many times, we're not the body. We're eternal servants of Krishna. We have to rise above the three modes of material nature. So there are many things which we repeat again and again. So we should repeat again and again this amazing fact that there is now Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. Prabhupada did it. No one else did it. Now, others are continuing the movement that he began, or they've set up parallel or imitation movements. But no one else had any idea that Krishna consciousness should be established all over the world. Maybe some vague idea, but no practical plan. Prabhupada did that. So we are all eternally indebted to Srila Prabhupada. So this tomorrow is Prabhupada's disappearance day, here tomorrow also, yeah, according to the calendar. So this in particular is a day for very intensely remembering Srila Prabhupada and praying for his mercy. Throughout the year we should worship Srila Prabhupada with everything we do in Krishna consciousness, worship of him side by side with worship of Krishna. The two, for us at least in ISKCON, are inseparable. Because without serving, without the connection with Prabhupada, we wouldn't be in this line of Krishna consciousness at all. So worship of Prabhupada and worship of Krishna go on side by side. We pray to Prabhupada that Krishna Shaitama, Krishna Dite Paro, Tomara Shakuti Ache, Amito Kangal, Krishna Krishna Bali, Dhai Tava Pache. That Krishna is yours, you have the power to give us Krishna. So I'm simply running after you, calling Krishna, 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 Krishna. Then we can pray to Krishna that you please engage me in the service of Srila Prabhupada. The two go on side by side. It's a festival of separation. How many tears were shed in separation from Prabhupada? I joined ISKCON in England, but before Prabhupada departed this world, I relocated to India, where I've been more or less based ever since. But I heard from devotees in England that on the first festival of Prabhupada's disappearance day, when devotees were called to speak, no one spoke anything. No one could speak. All they could do was cry, feeling intense separation, how we're separated from Prabhupada. Devotees is so much loved Prabhupada. They felt intense separation. And remembering that he has passed away from our mortal vision, simply cry. Prabhupada invoked that by, he gave himself completely to his disciples. He wanted to give them Krishna. He took all pain to do so. Even Prabhupada was known as... Nowadays we often hear stories of Prabhupada, how he was very gentle and affectionate and caring. But Prabhupada was also extremely intense, and he chastised a lot also. And not many of the devotees who were appointed as his personal servants stayed with him very long. One had to be very surrendered to do so. Because Prabhupada, immediately, any discrepancy, Prabhupada would immediately cut it out very strongly. He would say, "You rascal." And he wouldn't say... Nowadays, if you say rascal, people, they start laughing. And they think it's a joke. But Prabhupada didn't say it in a way that people would laugh. They would feel cut to the... They would feel as if someone had stuck a knife in them. It was so direct. Prabhupada cut the false ego. Painful experience. Shruti Kirti Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's personal servant for an extended period, he said that when Prabhupada shouted at you, it was not pleasant. It was a very, very, very heavy experience. Prabhupada was very, very strong. But he said that now in retrospect, now that Prabhupada has passed away from our mortal vision, that I could give anything or do anything to have Prabhupada shout at me again. It's very difficult because Prabhupada is very, very strong. But Shuddha Kirti Prabhu was saying, I'd give anything to have Prabhupada shout at me again, because in that shouting, in that chastisement, was his concern to rectify his disciple. So Prabhupada was a guru among many in our Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya. There have been many gurus. There will be many gurus. Nevertheless, Prabhupada's instruction is certainly unique. Inasmuch, well, for so many ways. I mean, the fact that he spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world, that's nothing that anyone else can do. I mean, others can do after him doing, but the one that showed that it was possible, the one who started it all going, when no one imagined, first of all, no one was even thinking of doing it, and if anyone even slightly thought of doing it, they hadn't got the faintest idea how to do it. Prabhupada, out of his great compassion, stayed in the Western world. He went there, he stayed there determinedly, and gradually established the Krishna Conscious Movement. In the language of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to make even one person Krishna conscious requires hundreds of gallons of blood. How much endeavor is required? Prabhupada gave all his concentrated attention to make the whole world Krishna conscious. That was his plan and his idea. And he was so confident of that that actually we were very confident when Prabhupada was present among us that Krishna consciousness would take over the world. That the people of the world, the majority of the people in the world would take up Krishna consciousness. Well, it doesn't look like that very much at the present time, does it? To extrinsic vision, we appear to be a small religious movement. But actually, ISKCON is very important because inasmuch as we're connected with Srila Prabhupada by following his instructions, and if we don't follow his instructions, then we can have a sign on the door saying ISKCON, but that doesn't make it ISKCON. Following his instructions makes it ISKCON. So, we are followers of Srila Prabhupada who wanted to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. We are very confident that that would happen by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Okay, Tendina. Catch him. And now he's going to talk. If someone starts talking, you should find them another 10 dinars. So that vision is there, that Krishna consciousness can take over the world in the sense that the majority of people can take up Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada had that faith. That is our duty as his followers in disciplic succession to establish Krishna consciousness within the world. Stapitam yena bhutale. So we have a lot of work to do. Things are progressing. It's wonderful that in Bahrain the bhakti movement is going on. The movement has spread a lot since Prabhupada left this world. We've also had a lot of problems, no doubt, which maybe you don't get to hear so much about in Bahrain, and that's maybe good, because why should we all concentrate on the problems? It's not easy spreading Krishna consciousness in the modern world. There have been and there are various institutional problems within the ISKCON institution. But nevertheless, if you see the number of devotees and number of centers of ISKCON in 1977, and see now, 29 years later, in 1986, it's expanded a lot. It's expanded to many more countries. So, Prabhupada's mercy is still there. But we really have to reach out for and take that mercy. Everything we need to become fully Krishna conscious is in Prabhupada's books. But then we have to read them. Otherwise, how can we know what is there? Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, read my books. So if you want to know Prabhupada, you should read his books. He also once said that my only complaint against my disciples is they don't read my books. And actually in those days, we did read Prabhupada's books. In general, a lot more than we do now. I see sometimes devotees who are, even they're initiated 10 years and they still haven't read the Bhagavatam. But that we took as our religious duty, that we have to read Prabhupada's books. That was the essential or unessential part of our contact or our relationship with Prabhupada. So this movement can spread very widely. How? By Prabhupada's mercy. We have to take his mercy to the world. But we have to imbibe that ourselves by understanding what Prabhupada came to teach and following it ourselves very strictly. Then we'll become spiritually potent. So Prabhupada's disappearance day, we want that Prabhupada will appear in everyone's heart. But for that to be possible, we have to take up the work of spreading Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada stressed for spreading Krishna consciousness. He stressed very much distribution of his books. It's a little difficult here in Bahrain due to the logistics of the place. But nevertheless, we can ourselves read and encourage others to do so. And encourage others to chant Hare Krishna. There is tremendous scope for spreading Krishna consciousness in the world at the present time. More than there was previously. Nowadays our movement is much better accepted than it was in the 1970s. So there's good scope. Like I was saying, among the Hindu society, there's more interest in Hinduism, which is largely due to Prabhupada. When people saw the Western devotees are taking up Krishna consciousness very seriously, then people gained strength. They came out of hiding and said, yes, well, actually, I like to do bhakti also. Even those who like to do, they were embarrassed to say so. So let us take the opportunity afforded by Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day celebrations to remember, hear about, and glorify Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, who came to give us Krishna. And let us again make our resolve very strong to practice Krishna consciousness very carefully, to read Prabhupada's books regularly, and beg for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada that we may become potent instruments in spreading his knowledge, the knowledge that he has brought all over the world. So, Hare Krishna. Hare Prabhupada. If any of you have any questions, you can please ask. No questions. Well, either you didn't understand anything I said, or you didn't think it was very interesting, or you agree with it all. So, if you agree with it all, then let us make our resolve to serve Srila Prabhupada and his mission, to take up Krishna's consciousness very strongly. Let us make that very strong resolve to do so. That is the best way to worship Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Yeah, please ask.
Maharaj, now we are doing house visits for Damodar Dina. So while doing Damodar house visit, one of our devotees, he has asked a question. Like Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it is supposed to be Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, like that. Not starting with Hare Krishna.
Who said?
One of the
new devotees asked. Who said? Who said it should be Hari Ram first and then Hare Krishna?
I said It was Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. I didn't say Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Krishna, all Sarvadeva Namaskaram, Keshav Mati Krishna.
No, but who said it must be like that? It must be Hari Rama first.
I didn't say it must be, I say it was like that.
Were you the person who asked the question? It's often considered like that.
It was like that.
But why?
It was like that. Now you say
maybe in some tradition that you're following, but that's not the only tradition.
The answer now you have given to me that this tradition has come afterwards.
Because no, the Hare Krishna mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra is eternal.
It makes no difference actually. In reality, I didn't see any difference.
That's what Prabhupada said. It doesn't make a big difference. But because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave it like this, we also chant like that. But there's chanting with Hare Krishna first, that's an eternal tradition. It's nothing new. It's like people say, well, Krishna came after Ram. Well, in one sense that's true, but in another sense, Krishna is eternal and Ram is eternal, so no, Krishna doesn't really come after Ram. It's just from our vision, because we are living in this material world and we measure in terms of time according to ourselves, but according to Krishna's estimation, there's no question Ram came first, Krishna came first, Krishna came first, Ram came first. These are true according to the chronology of the universe, but that's not all in all. It's hardly worth arguing over anyway. Anything else?